Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This is NBA Today, hosted by Malika Andrews.
Coming up on NBA Today, Woj with the latest on the likely suspension for Celtics head coach Ime Udoka. Plus, Ben Simmons tells all an inside look at his fallout in Philly and why the Nets will be virtually unguardable. Do not miss that. Also, the Mavericks star Luka Doncic, he joins the show and tells us why this Mavs team is ready for a finals run. NBA Today starts right now. Welcome to NBA Today. I'm Malika Andrews alongside Adrian Wojnarowski, Zach Lowe, Jalen Rose, and Richard Jefferson. We start today with news out of Boston. Celtics coach Ime Udoka is likely facing a one-year suspension for his role in a consensual relationship with a female staff member. That's what sources told our Adrian Wojnarowski. This is a developing story. We're here to deliver the facts, provide you with reporting, and give insight into the impact this could have on an organization that's hoping to contend for a championship. And with that, I'd like to bring back our panel and start with Woj here. Woj, how did the Celtics determine this one-year suspension?
So, Boston weighed everything here, including the possibility of a dismissal. They looked, and I think the impact this has for their organization, the people involved, and I think for the Celtics, because Ime Udoka is in a leadership position as the head coach of this franchise. I think they see this, you know, as a breach of judgment, of trust, and obviously they're taking this really seriously. There's never really been a sitting head coach who has faced this kind of punishment. A one-year suspension is dramatic. And so, listen, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 3 years ago, might this have been looked at differently? A relationship that's considered improper in the workplace, it might have been looked at differently. But this is 2022, and those in charge in Boston, you know, are making a decision that there was going to be a significant punishment for Ime Udoka. And this is not easy. This is a coach who led them to the finals in his first year. Listen, this is somebody that they have been thrilled with as a leader in that organization. I think this is a devastating week within the Celtics. And I think as more people have learned about the fallout of this, what has happened, I think certainly for this organization, it is jarring.
First of all, above all else, this is potentially a family and personal issue before a basketball issue, before an employment issue. You have to remember there are people whose lives are going to be impacted by this one way or another. Second, I understand the dissonance between why did Robert Sarver get a one-year suspension for all the stuff that he did, we've been talking about all week, and why does a head coach get the same length suspension for what is being described as a consensual relationship. I understand the outrage. I understand the criticism. I understand all that. I think, as Woj alluded to, we just don't know all the particulars yet. And until we do, we have to consider things like, what were the workplace dynamics like? Were there power dynamics in place that made this an untenable situation? If there were, and people's jobs have to get moved or reassigned or anything like that, what harm does that befall on anyone involved? Is that okay? Is that fair? We just don't know the answers to those things yet. And until we do, we just don't know how this is going to unfold. Maybe it is a one-year suspension. Maybe it gets reduced. Maybe he just can't return as Celtics head coach after that 1 year for a whole variety of reasons. Until we know those particulars, I think rushing to judgment on the length of the penalty is probably not a good idea.
Well, for now, we have to look to what comes next. And Woj, you reported that Joe Mazzulla will be the interim head coach here. You can see his resume on your screen. He's been a Celtics assistant coach the last three seasons after spending the previous three seasons at Fairmount State. and he played for West Virginia between 2006 and 2011, and now could become the NBA's youngest head coach at 34 years old. And we'd be remiss not to also mention that Mazzulla was arrested twice at West Virginia, once in 2008 for underage drinking and aggravated assault. He pled guilty, paid a fine, and then again in 2009 for domestic battery after an incident at Morgantown Bar. The domestic battery case never went to trial. It was settled in August of 2009. He paid a $100 fine and court costs, plus had to do 40 hours of community service. Now, that was 13 years ago. He settled and paid both fines. So, Woj, why are the Celtics choosing him as their next head coach?
Well, let's start with this. This is somebody whose character they really believe in, whose leadership they really believe in. And tactically, they think this is Joe Mazzulla has all the makings of a head coach in the NBA. He was one of the finalists in Utah, along with his colleague Will Hardy, who was together. They were on the Celtics staff last year with Ime Udoka. Hardy gets the job. Will Hardy wanted to take Joe Mazzulla to the Jazz with him. Boston stepped up and elevated him. And so this is somebody who I think was going to be a head coach in this league. It comes a lot sooner. Defensively, played a big role tactically with Udoka last year on a defense that was number one in the league. But he is not in here. This is not a rebuild like Utah. He is inheriting a team with championship aspirations. You know, he was a small college head coach. He does have some head coaching experience. It's a lot different with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. But I think you might see them maybe bring in another veteran assistant for this staff. It's a lot of brain power that goes out the door with Udoka, Will Hardy, and now Mazzulla moving up. But this is somebody who I know Brad Stevens really believes in, and somebody who, if he wasn't going to be the interim head coach here in Boston this year, was on his way to be a head coach elsewhere.
And I think with all of that as the backdrop, you have to imagine, Jaylen, that the Celtics, the players, they went through this entire summer thinking that Ime Udoka was going to come back as their head coach. They have championship aspirations. How does all of this impact their mindset heading into the season?
Well, this is unfortunate for everyone involved, because if you look at how the Nets season went and ended, they didn't win a playoff game and they ended up getting swept by the Celtics. I truly believe the trajectory of the Celtics and what happened to the Nets, the one decision that made the difference was the Nets hire Steve Nash, and then they hire Ime Udoka. Like, he was a terrific voice for that team that you're describing, and being able to challenge Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and elevating Marcus Smart to be a defensive player of the year. But this also is a classic example of how your decision-making can now influence so many different parts of your life. This decision, these potential series of decisions, unfortunately for him, may cost him his family, may cost him an opportunity to grow up in the same house with his son that he has with Nia Long. It may ultimately cost him his job. And I believe moving forward, I think it's gonna be hard ultimately for him to be their leader and coach long-term, because those relationships have to be in sync from top down. And at some point, clearly there's been a breach in trust. Mm. And now that that has happened, I think it's going to be tough for the Celtics long term to continue to see him as their head coach going forward after this situation.
No, I agree. And we talk about the continuity. They were building in Boston. They were building something. It feels like they've been building for a long time, but it seemed like finally the next level of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart, instead of being the young guys with Al Horford and Kyrie and Isaiah, now all of a sudden these guys were built to be leaders, and they had become leaders, and they had gone through a lot. And now they're about to be on their third head coach in three seasons. Let's not, and I understand it's still within the organization, and I get that, but the fact that this young team is now, after coming off of finals, and like, hey, can we build on this? We were two games away, you know, from possibly winning a championship. That's like 2-3% better from each player. And so now that you're going to get a new head coach with a new rhythm and a new feel and a new idea. And so I think for me, I know it's always funny when they were like, oh, Ime, most times coaches don't step down, because if you step down, you do not get paid. Typically, if you get fired, then you get all of your money. You get all of your money still. So coaches are going to always be weary of like, I'm going to step down, I'm going to step away. They're more likely, if you don't want me here, fire me. But in another year, Ime is going to come back and then try and coach this team the same way he had and had built up. That's going to be a very, very difficult process, not only for him, but for the players and the organization. Mm-hmm. Everyone loses in this situation.
Richard, and you talk about that, what it could look like next year trying to come back. And listen, I'm told it's going to be a one-year suspension. That's what they were finalizing today, and they would announce it at some point today. But it is not necessarily a guarantee that he is back in this job after a year. Who knows what happens with Joe Mazzulla as an interim coach and how they move forward with Udoka, how this plays out. So there are no guarantees. But listen, I do think Ime Udoka made such an impression on people in this league, the job he did in Boston last year. I don't think the final chapter has been written on his head coaching career in the NBA, whether that's in Boston or somewhere else.
We've seen other high-level executives and coaches recover from things like this. Often it's in, to your point, a different place. And maybe that ends up what's happened here. Because, as you said, it's just cognitively it's hard to figure out how this works. You just go away for a year. The team does what it does. Maybe they're awesome. Maybe they take a step back and you just walk back in the door and coach the team. It seems awkward and certainly strange.
Well, the Boston Red Sox had that with Alex Cora. He was suspended for a year for cheating. And next thing you know, he's back a year later. So, in Boston, the Boston fans, that group, they've seen this something along these lines where a coach you hire, all of a sudden he's got to go for a year and then come back. So this is not unprecedented in sports, but even in the Boston area in the last 5 years. So I think there are ways to do it, but it's like, that's a long trust road back.
Well, no, hold on. That's way different, because the cheating that Cora was doing was trying to put the team in position to win the World Series. And so there was a level of, even though he was wrong, the other people understood that he was trying to do it for each person's best interest. In this case, Ime's on an island. And it's going to be hard to gain the trust from the ownership to front office. And then it's going to be snickers all around about what happened when the team hits turbulence. Imagine, before January 1st, this team was trying to find its rhythm. And he's done so very much to put himself in position to get this job. He's played all over the world. He's played in the NBA. He was an established assistant head coach. And it's just really unfortunate
that
now that he gets his opportunity, these decisions are now potentially going to cost him that job.
Well, and right now what we know is that it's likely going to be a one-year suspension. Right now we are waiting for the Boston Celtics to announce the details, the specifics of what that will look like, and we will cover it as soon as we have that announcement. Coming up on NBA Today, I do want to check in on Brooklyn, gentlemen, because for the first time since joining the Nets, Ben Simmons talks about the details of his fallout with Philly. Plus, our ESPN rank continues. 10 through 6 was released today, so wait until you see where LeBron and KD landed on the list. And Luka Doncic, but maybe I should say the AI version of him, joins this show. Wait, we'll show you what we're talking about. NBA Today continues after this.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
NBA Today is brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
It's a blessing to be in an organization like this. You know, I'm just looking forward to getting back on the floor and building something great here. Having those guys running alongside me at the pace we want to play at, I think it's going to be scary.
So it's been about a year since our Adrian Wojnarowski reported that Ben Simmons would not report to training camp with the Philadelphia 76ers. That was, of course, following their loss to the Hawks in the Eastern Conference semis. But since then, we haven't really heard much from Ben about the actual fallout that he had with the franchise. So our friend, JJ Redick, asked him why he decided to even return to practice after requesting out of Philadelphia. Take a listen.
So I was trying to do the right thing, at least, like do right by, you know, whatever the team, my teammates, whatever, you know, whoever it is, but trying to do the right thing. And I just was not in that place to play. Like I wasn't, like I just couldn't do it. And I, you know, getting kicked out of that practice that day, I actually spoke to Doc before practice. I was like, Doc, I'm not ready. Like mentally, I'm not ready. Please just understand that. You know, I tried to let him know prior. And he's like, well, I'm going to put you in anyway. I'm like, all right. Told me to get in. I was like, I looked at him. Like, it was like 1 minute into practice. Like, man, get in. I'm like, first of all, no one's doing that. You're doing this on purpose. And that's how I felt too. I was like, okay, so it seems like everyone's just trying to, you know, like I'm getting fined for like not lifting weights, but physically I'm like one of the strongest guys on the team. So I'm like, now they're finding me for little things. And it was just a buildup of, obviously I didn't handle things the right way. But also the team didn't either.
I'm back here with Zach, Jalen, and Richard. That's really interesting. He said that he didn't feel like he was mentally ready to be there, and yet here he was, thrown into the fire. What do you make of that, Jalen?
Well, the relationship between Ben and the Sixers truly ended when they lost to the Hawks. Mm. If you look back at the last handful of years in the East, all of the top players have gotten a chance to at least make it to the NBA Finals, except Joel Embiid and the Sixers, who've added Daryl Morey, Doc Rivers to go with that guy Ben Simmons since then. And so when he doesn't perform for them, that now puts them in position for James Harden. When James Harden quits on the Nets, they trade him for Ben Simmons. I ask, how did Ben Simmons pass a physical? He didn't play a game for the Nets, Zach Lowe, but he had back surgery. So now as you graduate the story, to me, if he's healthy, the main thing that's going to be different basketball-wise is he ain't going to have to be the lead guard at the top of the floor,
sure,
not attempting jump shots. He's going to be on the baseline in a dunker spot. He's going to be a screener. And instead of being the second best player on the contending team, he's going to be the third best player.
Which is where he
and
needs
I think
to be.
That's exactly where he should be.
Well, he did mention on the podcast that he hurt himself on the stairs, right? That's what he said in the podcast. But go ahead, Richard.
Well, thanks for the lob. No.
I throw it up.
Don't pass it off.
But this is my thing about it, and I'm glad that he got an opportunity to speak and admit that, like, hey, there were things that I could have done better. You know what we won't hear that from? The Philadelphia organization. We won't hear that from the 76ers, and I don't think there's a person up here or even anybody with a halfway intelligent brain that doesn't think the 76ers could have handled this better. We're going to force you to show up. I'm going to meet with the coach and say, hey, look, mentally and emotionally, I'm not ready. That's fine. I'm going to put you out there. And then like 2 minutes into practice, Jalen, you know, you're the first team guy, but first team guys typically are just like, I'll get out there when I get out there because I'm going to play 82 games and I'm going to have to play 40 minutes a night. You're not telling me to get into practice. So they're actually just trying to egg him on. They're pushing him. They're pushing buttons. And so I respect Ben Simmons for saying there were things that I could have done better. And I wish the Philadelphia organization would also say, like, hey, in respects to Ben Simmons, we tried our best. We tried different things. There are things that we wish we could have done better in this situation. But I don't think we're going to hear that from them.
I don't think we will either. I think what's passed is passed for them. Yeah. They've moved on. I will say it's very clear from both that segment and the rest of the podcast on JJ's podcast. He felt betrayed the moment that Doc Rivers and Joel Embiid spoke after that Hawks game about what went wrong in that game. And it was unrecoverable almost from there. And then he talks about how, well, nobody visited me in L.A. that summer, and then they tried to come out the last minute. It was over, I think, for him then, and unrecoverable. I will say, though, he does at some point say, there are things I could have done better. I don't really remember what those were from the podcast, because I did also hear like a lot of deflection, particularly when he talks about that play. Mm-hmm. He kind of minimizes it as well. It's only one play, and talks goes
it was a
through
a whole series goes, towards the end of that series.
And that's what was minimized to me is there was no talk about how he was afraid to get fouled. There's no talk about how he shot 34% from the free throw line in those playoffs and what that did to him. And I thought I would like to have heard a little bit more about his mental state in that regard, because look, I don't care if you're playing with Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant. Yeah. If you're afraid to get fouled and you live around the rim, that's a problem. Right. And that's what I'm most curious to see. More than the threes, more than the jump shots that everyone harps on about, that's what I want to see. And I didn't hear much about that.
Well, let's talk about his current team a little bit and what Ben Simmons
Do we have
expects.
To?
We yes. have to, Zach, because I said so. Richard, hush.
Okay.
Let's take a listen to how he thinks he's going to fit in with his current team.
That narrative around the shooting is so constant. How frustrating is that?
I think for a while it was just... It's so repetitive. You're hearing it all the time from everybody. You're like, hell, like, just get off my case. Like, I do other stuff too. Like, I'm guarding the best players. And that's one thing. I don't think people respect that enough. Like, what I'm bringing to the court, because there's a lot of I'm bringing to the court.
Are you going to shoot threes this season for the Nets?
Yeah, I need to. I need to just go out there and put some up.
Do you have reservations about this season, about your own physical ability, about your own ability to play? Or no, because no, you I'll have be, this like foundation, you know, I'm good.
No, I'll be great. And I'm excited to play with, you know, Kev, Kai, Joe, all those guys. Like, we just have an unbelievable team. And I know it, like, for me, after surgery, I knew it was going to take to get back to where I need to be. And I've been locked in, just like the talent that we have and the type of players that we have. I think this team right now is just a great fit for what I do and what I bring to the game. I feel like it's Philly on steroids, kind of.
Philly on steroids. All right. Interesting. I want to bring in our senior writer, Brian Windhorst, to get his thoughts on that. How dangerous the Nets can be. Do you agree with Ben Simmons' assessment here?
Yeah, I know that the Nets had all that drama with Kyrie and Durant in the offseason, but I've said this throughout the summer. I actually like the moves that they've made. And to address the issues that they had, which were defensive deficiencies, Ben Simmons and Royce O'Neal were terrific additions. And actually, while the accountability of what happened in Philly was a little bit lacking in this interview, his enthusiasm about where he is mentally now and what he's thinking about the Nets was refreshing. Mm. That was one of the big things I took away from this conversation, is that at least when you look forward, that it looks like Ben Simmons is ready to play. And I wasn't sure about him mentally or with that back injury. You know, back injuries, especially back surgeries, are very worrisome. And so, you know, the demeanor that he had was very good. And look, let's just be honest. He may shoot a couple of three-pointers this year, but they're going to have one of the best shooting teams in the league. If he doesn't take a shot outside the paint and he defends with versatility at one end and he creates space by getting into the lane and dishing out or playing out of the post, he will have done his job. He doesn't have to shoot at all this season. Mm. And I think maybe knowing that probably helps him a little bit mentally going in as well.
Richard, what's our petty saying around here?
Hey, listen, if you stay petty, you ain't got to get petty. And they stay petty in Brooklyn.
Well, so can I be petty for a
Please
minute?
Please be petty.
Who's going to finish higher then, Philly or Brooklyn?
This is a good question. Me and Jalen are looking at that roster. You got Seth Curry. You got Joe Harris. You have so much talent. And Ben Simmons. Do we remember how hard Kevin Durant had to work for every single shot in their offense last year in the postseason? If you have a person that can get steals, create easy buckets like Ben Simmons, this is one of the top four most talented teams in the NBA, if not higher. I think the Brooklyn Nets, if they can, I don't know. I want to say the Brooklyn Nets, because I'm going to say Boston
wow.
does not have their leader. Boston does not have
I
their
I said
leader.
Philly or...
Oh, I thought you were saying Boston or... But yeah, what? But same.
You
same thing.
Listen. Jalen, do you listen?
Yes, I'm going to Nets is the answer
there we
to
go.
Your question.
Okay, I appreciate
but,
you.
But the narrative around shooting will continue to be something we talk about with Ben Simmons, because the game is so very hard, Malika, when you can't shoot. And so what ends up happening is, yeah, he's not going to be playing at the top of the floor as the point guard, and you'll be able to hide it during the game. But there's other parts of shooting, too, like free throws. And so if we're going to have you finish the game, yeah, we can have him play small ball five. We can have him do a lot of stuff. But still, you got to be able to make shots to finish games if they're going to win the East.
You got three guys that shoot 90% on KD, Kyrie.
You know Joe you Harris, can't like, hide somebody that can't shoot that's also a playmaker. You know this.
Okay, it's difficult.
How are you going to playmake and not being able to attempt certain shots
offensive,
when the game is close? All you do is funnel the ball
to
the percentages.
I'm just going to say two things.
Number one, the answer is Philly to your question. Number two, that roster looks great on a television screen. Looks amazing.
Big. But what is it that you said about the greatest hypothetical team in history?
Well, that was the. This That's is like another iteration of that.
Of the Nets. Let's see if this one can
looks
jump off
on the
page
screen.
Onto the court, and we'll see how this shakes out. You know who else I want to see whose team shakes out this year? I want to see how the Dallas Mavericks and Luka Doncic. Oh, yeah.
I feel a transition coming.
It's coming because Mavs star Luka Doncic joins the show to talk about his magic on and off of the court. Richard, don't worry.
That was a great transition.
It to you.
Great transition.
Plus, we have more on the developing story regarding Ime Udoka's looming suspension. And see where LeBron and Kevin Durant landed on our top 10 list. Don't miss Richard's take on who he's taking. Don't go anywhere. NBA Today will be right back.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
My basketball journey has been a lot of fun. All I dreamed about when I was a kid is being in the NBA.
Just watch and enjoy.
Welcome to America, man.
Thank you.
It's very nice to meet you.
How did he do it?
He's a rookie, but he's a bad man.
When I'm playing the best, I have fun. I couldn't live without this game.
Step back three! Bullseye!
Mama, there goes that man.
Luka Doncic literally can do it all on the basketball court, sometimes being a one-man wrecking crew for the Dallas Mavericks. But what if there were two Lukas in the world? Well, now we may just find out. Doncic just launched Luke AI. It's an AI version of Luka and visual creator who exists to, quote, make the world more playful. It's self-learning, artificial intelligence capable of emotional, physical,
That's
and technological. Bad. Backed by real AI technologies that allow him to appear and engage initially, Richard, on TikTok, allowing him to understand human behavior, language, and trends in real time. So I sat down with Luka and we discussed this venture as well as the summer ahead and the future he has with the Dallas Mavericks. Joining us now is three-time All-NBA guard for the Dallas Mavericks, Luka Doncic. Thank you so much for being here. Luka, where are you coming from today? Where are you?
I'm in Slovenia, my hometown, enjoying some time off before the season.
Well, you enjoy that time off. We appreciate you taking a little bit of time with us, especially with this enormous time difference. But you're developing a very special series, the Luke AI, and it features your alter ego. Why?
And just because, you know, I like technology, I play video games. I mean, I used to play a lot, now so, but it was something that inspired me, and I'm very excited for this project.
I'm excited to see it. A component of Luke AI is that you want to give fans access to your interests and to your values. So let's just start there. Can you share your interests that the world at large may not know about that we're going to see here?
Yeah, it's going to be basically me. It's going to speak like me, act like me, you know, do some probably trick shots. And fans could, people could interact with it, you know, through TikTok is going to be the most, the profile he's going to have.
TikTok is going to be the profile? Is there a specific mannerism that it's going to embody, or maybe a hobby that it has that you also have?
I mean, it's going to be mostly basketball, you know, trick shot. But then people could ask me questions, too, and I could respond as a Luka AI.
So you said it's going to involve a lot of trick shots. It's going to involve a lot of basketball. So let's talk a little bit of basketball, because your Slovenian team, it recently fell to Poland in the Eurobasket quarterfinals. And it's a competition. I mean, you dominated in the past. You won the title in 2017. What did you learn from this year's run and the loss that you're going to take with you into this upcoming NBA season?
Yeah, it was a really hard loss for us. You know, Poland played great. They had an amazing game. We just weren't there. You know, we didn't compete as we should, as we know. But Poland did an amazing match. They prepared really good. But I think this tournament, I learned a lot. The teams were amazing. There was a lot of great teams, great players. And it was another experience that was awesome.
You said you learned a lot. Was there something specific you learned about yourself during this play?
I mean, not like myself, mostly as a team, you know, being a leader, you know, helping others. I learned a lot of new things, you know, the way I should act, the way I shouldn't act. So as a leader, I learned a lot of things.
Well, someone who came to see you play was Jason Kidd. And after taking over as head coach last season, he helped lead the Mavericks to the team's best record since 2015. What impact did he have on you personally and then on the team as a whole?
Yeah, I think it was... he's a great coach. You know, he knows everything about the game. He was a champion, and he played my position. You know, his passing was amazing. Everything was amazing. And he helps me a lot, you know. And when I see, you know, Jay, Mark, Nico, all the guys come all the way from Dallas, you know, it's something special and really, it's really enjoyable. And I thank them every day.
Well, speaking of Dallas, we last saw your Mavericks in Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals, the farthest that you've taken your team in the postseason since being drafted. So what do you need to do? What are you tasking yourself with to take your team to the finals this year?
Yeah, it's going to be really hard. You know, I think the Western Conference is really packed, but we're going to believe. You know, I always say before the season, the goal is to win a championship. We have some new players. Some left, so we're going to have to build a team in this preseason and then just play basketball and have fun.
Do you believe that the West got better this offseason?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, only probably it is, yeah.
Well, you say it's always a championship expectations for you. You always go into the season saying, that's what we want to do. We want to win a championship. Is this championship or bust? Is it this we need to make it to the finals and that's what we're going for this year? What is your expectation?
I mean, my expectation is to make it to the finals, you know, first of all. I know it's going to be really, really hard, but we got to believe, you know, everybody got to believe it. And if the whole team believes, you know, it can probably happen, but it's going to be really hard.
I imagine it's some combination of belief, but also the skill that you and your teammates bring to the court. And you had a career high usage rate last season, over 37%. But you are losing your backcourt mate in Jalen Brunson, who was second on the team in both points and assists. How much more of a load are you anticipating bearing this season?
Honestly, I don't know. You know, we got to see what team we have, you know, how somebody plays. But I think Spencer is going to come big this year. But talking about JB, you know, he had an amazing season. But he worked really hard these 4 years, you know, and he deserves all the money he got. He deserves this spot. And, you know, I just want to wish him luck and all the best.
Well, speaking of Jalen, originally when he signed with the Knicks, you said that the market, it just started, and I expect the bosses of Dallas to have more options to sign, so let's see what they do. Well, now we've seen what they've done. How do you feel about what the team was able to do in terms of roster construction?
Oh, I feel good. You know, we signed a couple of guys, and I feel good. I think they did a pretty good job. I think we have one more spot open, I think, or maybe not. I don't know. But I think they did pretty good, you know. We have a good team, a big team, and we're ready to go.
When you look around the league, the majority of upper echelon teams, they have multiple superstars. Do you think that you need another all-star to truly contend here?
No, I mean, I think we have great players on our team. There's plenty very underrated guys that I think should be talked about more. So I don't think so. I think we have a great team.
Who are those underrated guys that you think need a little bit more shine? Let's give them some shine here.
For sure, number one is Dorian Finney-Smith. You know, he's worked really, really hard. He's one of the best defensive guys. If he's open, he's going to make a shot. There's a couple more. You know, Spence is going to have a big role this year. Talking about Christian Wood, you know, he's new player to Dallas, but I think he's going to be huge for us.
Last season, Luka, you were called for 17 technical fouls, although two of them were ultimately rescinded. How do you plan on towing the line of limiting technical fouls while still maintaining the level of passion that we've come to know you play with?
Yeah, you know, the thing about me is I don't want to lose, and that's why at least off the ground, I'm totally different. But I got to control it because it's not really a bad look for me. It's a bad look for the whole team. It don't help my team. So I got to look to my teammates, to the players, and be better for them.
Luke AI, I imagine, has his own reaction to technical fouls. That's something that is going to be something separate.
No. I don't think we're going to do this.
Well, last month, Luka, you unveiled your very first signature shoe, the Luka Jordan 1s in Paris. What was that moment like?
Oh, it's unbelievable. I just, since the day they told me I had my shoe come, you know, it was a long process, but the day I could wear it, finally, it was amazing, you know, and especially in Paris when it was official, you know, the launch. It's just something unbelievable. Not a lot of people can say they have their own shoes. You know, I was just a kid from Slovenia, wanted to play in the NBA, and now I have my own shoe with Jordan. It's just a dream come true for me.
When did you first meet Michael Jordan?
I met him at my first All-Star. I think it was some celebration of something. I don't know, but I was too nervous. I didn't know what to say.
Did you end up saying anything? Did you just look at your feet?
Yeah, I was just saying hi, then how are you, I think, something like that. Nothing more.
I can understand those nerves. Luka, before we let you go, you all open up against the Phoenix Suns. You finished in the MVP conversation last season. Is that the quest this year, not only to make it to the finals, but to once again be in that conversation and possibly win MVP?
I mean, yeah, hopefully, you know. MVP is unbelievable, you know. If I could be named MVP, it would be an enormous accomplishment. I would be so happy, but you never know. I hope I'm in that conversation.
Well, the journey starts for you all against the Suns, but we will let you enjoy the limited time you have left in Slovenia. Thank you for spending some time with us here on NBA Today.
Thank you for having me.
Still to come on NBA Today, find out who was ranked higher, LeBron or Kevin Durant, in our NBA rank. I have a feeling there may be some debate around this one. NBA Today, back after the break.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
The newest installment of NBA Rank dropped on ESPN.com this morning, counting down the top 100 players in the NBA based on how they project to play in this upcoming season. So here's today's release of players 10 through 6. Just a reminder, Kawhi, ranked number 12. James Harden, 11. Coming in at 10, it is Mr. Devin Booker. And next at 9, who is it? Ja Morant. Why are you over here?
Because you're too smart to be doing Vanna White.
At 8, it is Mr. Kevin Durant. I'll get out of the way then. And ahead of Durant at 7 is, Jason Tatum. And coming in at 6, it is the 4-time finals and regular season MVP, LeBron James.
You're ill.
All right, guys, this is the first time since NBA rank started, which was in 2011, that LeBron is outside of the top 10. So I think that begs the question, Zach, you look like you're studying the list, making sure you understand. Yeah,
everybody looks very happy. Yeah. Look how happy they look up there.
Top 5. What? You know what I'm going to ask?
What's the question?
The question is, does he belong there? Does he belong outside the top 5?
Yes! He belongs. No, look, there's the way I see it is this. Instead of listing people player by, there's a group, and then there's everyone else, right? In my opinion, it's Luka, it's Giannis, it's Jokic, it's Embiid, it's Steph, LeBron, KD, and then there's everyone else. There is that group. And then that's the rest of it. So I think he's right there around 6 because the other guys have either won MVPs or been tops of the leagues, all the stuff. I know he's right there, but just outside.
Okay, so those 5 guys, once again, they are Giannis, they are Jokic, Luka. I said Giannis, Luka. Who are
Curry,
the other two?
Curry and Embiid.
Okay.
Embiid.
Okay, fair. So does LeBron belong at number 6?
I think LeBron is positioned properly. I believe a top 5 player gets our team to contention because we got him. Mm-hmm. And when you look at all of the guys that are ranked ahead of him, I anticipate that happening this year. But also for this list, I gotta say a couple of things.
Yes, sir.
Who thinks, and by the way, these are all great players and all of that, but where's Kawhi Leonard?
He's number 12.
Y'all must have forgot. Did y'all just see Kawhi thighs the other day? He about to come back.
Let
me tell you something.
That wasn't a real picture, bro.
And let me tell you something. I've won Player of the Week before.
Yeah.
I've gotten an MVP vote before.
Okay.
That don't mean I was better than
somebody.
So let me just show this. Let me just say this real quick. I love Jason Tatum.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't better than Kevin Durant.
Amen.
Amen.
Kevin Durant, Giannis, Steph, Luka,
Jokic,
and Kawhi, to me, are in a class of their own.
Okay.
Those 4 or 5 players, to me, that's the top 5, those guys.
So Jokic is not in it. You didn't say Jokic. So he
and the Joker.
Okay, so that's
6. So then LeBron is one step lower.
All right.
LeBron is 7.
All right. I want
to
get
stand to be corrected.
The opinion, it's all right. Richard has just lived.
But Jason Tatum hasn't passed KD and Kawhi just yet.
Mm-hmm. No. I think that's, and that's something that could be proven and remain to be seen this year. I want to get Brian Windhorst's opinion on this because he has covered LeBron incredibly closely throughout your entire career. How do you feel about his placement on the list?
First off, I didn't know Jay Rose had gotten an MVP vote, so salute, man.
Now,
I will say you got a
there.
Max contract. To me, the max contract says a lot, and I know that was nice, too, no matter how many MVP votes you got. Look, I don't know about the rank. I don't particularly like ranking things. I'm sorry if that makes me a bad television guest. Here's what I know. If I was starting a playoff series, I would want Giannis first. And my second pick to this moment would still be LeBron.
Yeah.
And certainly, if I had the third pick, I'd be still happy. But LeBron is still right up there in a 7-game series, and that's where I view him. If you want to put him 6th, you want to put him 7th, you want to put him 3rd, whatever, but that's where I see him.
I agree with Wendy. I can't believe it. Look, if you want to yell and scream that LeBron belongs in the top 5, you read the names. Those guys are amazing, and they don't include Kawhi, who's amazing, and Durant, who's amazing. Like, these are really hard decisions. But to win in the regular season, 82 games, carrying a team, this is right for LeBron.
Okay.
He's older. He's only playing 55, 60 games a year. But I agree with Wendy. In one game or in a 1-7-game series, I want him over some of these guys.
Yeah.
I want him over some of these guys. I probably want him over the centers. I can't take him over Giannis. Can't take him over Durant. Those might be the only ones because this guy is still the chess master. He's still the ultimate chess master.
Here's what I know about NBA rank. You can put 100 people in a room. Everyone's going to have a different ranking of their top five. That's all I know. Coming up on NBA Today, more on the fallout of Celtics head coach Ime Udoka. What is next for the team? We dive in. More NBA Today after this. Celtics coach Ime Udoka is likely facing a one-year suspension for his role in a consensual relationship with a female staff member. That's what sources told our Adrian Wojnarowski. I want to welcome back our senior writer, Brian Windhorst. Brian, you have spent a lot of time covering the Eastern Conference, covering the Celtics. How does the team move forward this season?
Yeah, so, I mean, within the Celtics, they have already started focusing on their new interim head coach, Joe Mazzulla. Obviously, there's a shock and awe situation here. The players were just informed of this decision within the last 24 hours, but they're getting ready for training camp. Now, it is pretty unprecedented here because Mazzulla not only has never been a head coach in the NBA before, he's never sat on the front of the bench in the NBA. Now, that said, he was the head coach for their summer league team last year, and he was a head coach in Division II. Malika, in Division II NCAA. Malika, they really, really like him. Brad Stevens likes him. He was on Brad Stevens' staff. They really think a lot of him. Utah tried to hire him away with Will Hardy. The Celtics wanted to keep him and did promote him to the front of the bench this year. He has got an incredible opportunity. This team is still loaded, but it's obviously been a real shocking situation here they're going to have to try to get past.
He was also the Celtics Summer League coach in 2021. Brian Windhorst, thank you so much for that insight. Still to come on NBA Today. Hey, Jalen, how do I say it?
Detroit basketball!
Detroit basketball! We have trade news, and I feel like Jalen Rose is going to have something to say about this one. NBA Today, back in 60 seconds.
I still have PTSD.
Let's hear it, Jalen. How do you say it?
Detroit basketball!
The Pistons are finalizing a trade to acquire veteran forward Bojan Bogdanović from the Utah Jazz in exchange for Kelly Olynyk and Saben Lee. That's what sources told our Adrian Wojnarowski. So here's what the Pistons roster could look like after these new acquisitions.
Let's go!
Jalen, play-in team, playoff team? What are we looking at?
Playoffs?
Playoffs?
We talking playoffs? Playoffs?
Another year at Cade Cunningham is going to be terrific to watch him mature, playing alongside Jaden Ivey in the backcourt. And I'm telling y'all a secret, when the Pistons are at their best, of course we're going to have that physicality and that defensive tenacity, but we usually have an all-star backcourt. And that's what we've done over the last few decades. And that's what these guys are going to be for my Detroit Pistons.
I can't argue with them. Rip Hamilton, Chauncey Billups, you had Isaiah Thomas, Joe Dumars. I don't know.
Jimmy Walker, Dave Bing.
I know Dave Bing. I didn't know Jimmy Walker.
Yeah, I can tell you a secret.
Tell me.
That's my biological father.
No way.
Yes, indeed.
I did know your pops played in the league. I did not know that was the man. Mm-hmm. But anyways, they are nice. That when they have a backcourt that is steady like that, I love Jaden Ivey, defensive guy, can also score the ball.
Durant up front.
They need shooting. They added shooting, but they don't have a lot of experience. So I don't know if I would say playoff unless they overachieve
this year. So DeCaf 50 last year.
You know what?
Game.
I don't even care. Play in, playoff. It's a fun move for the Pistons. The best gift you can give Cade Cunningham is shooting. Boyan's an elite shooter. Put him out there in the starting five. Move Bagley to the bench. They're going to be fun to watch. They got something cooking in Detroit with Cade and Ivy and Beef Stew. It said they're going to be fun to watch.
I got Trey Weaver out there playing chess.
Producers are in my ear saying they have something else they want to show us. I don't know what this is.
Here we go.
Let's see. Oh.
Wow.
I was rocking Jalen's glass.
I tried to tell you.
Who wore it better is the question.
I look good.
It's not good.
It's Malika. We will see you tomorrow.
Send me that picture.
One more button.